Now this evening, we are going to take you through the great day of atonement, the Yom Kippur, in the life of the nation Israel. In many senses, this was the great day, the high day. In one way, it was a greater day even than the Passover feast, because the Passover feast looked back to a historical event for them. But the great day of atonement was a very present sort of thing, and there was a great deal of pressure upon them, because whether God accepted this sin offering for the nation was determined about the way the high priest entered in, whether he was accepted or not, and whether he came out again alive. And it was on that basis, therefore, that the great day of atonement became such a great and important day for the nation Israel. It is the sacrifice that they today miss. It's the one that they need above all others, is the sacrifice for sin on the great day of atonement. Now, it took place, of course, in the wilderness tabernacle. Later on, of course, transferred to the temple. Now, tonight, we want to see what God's Word has to say about this. He not only gave instructions for the building of the tabernacle, but He gave specific instructions for the use of that tabernacle and just how they were to approach God. That was given in the Word. Now, this tabernacle was the very center of their camp. All of the tribes encamped around the tabernacle, and each one was in relation to the tabernacle. I suppose that after they had crossed that wilderness for 40 years, that there were many that could just look at the tabernacle when it was put up and know exactly where their tent was to go. Their lives, you see, and their homes, their walk, everything was regulated by that tabernacle. They also understood this was the only place they could approach God. As we saw last Thursday night, God gave them one place of sacrifice. There were not two places. Now, the reason that God gave them the great day of atonement, it came out of an experience. The two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, rebelled. That is, they disobeyed God, rebelled against their father, rebelled against Moses and against God. And they offered strange incense. That means they went contrary to the Mosaic law. And God, at the very beginning, taught these people how important it was that they approach God in the right sort of way. Therefore, these two boys were struck dead. And God told Aaron, Aaron stood there and didn't shed a tear. God told him that this was because of their disobedience. Aaron recognized that. And believe me, from that day on, the high priest knew that if you were to approach Almighty God, you must come the way that He has instructed. And Jehovah said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Now, inside the Holy of Holies, why, the high priest was forbidden to go except on the great day of atonement. He shall put on the holy linen coat. He shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with the linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. They are the holy garments, and he shall bathe his flesh in water and put them on. Now, this is all ritual. It's all ceremonial. But it's speaking not only to them, but to us, of something that is very important indeed. Now, this man, Aaron, and the succeeding high priest, their garments actually were different than the other priests. They wore garments of beauty and glory. underneath they had on this linen garment that all the priests wore. But over that, they had what God was pleased to call garments of glory and beauty. And I do not believe that anyone was ever decked out in more gaudy attire than the great high priest when he was wearing all of his garments. There was, for instance, that very beautiful, if you please, breastplate, 12 beautiful gems in it, each one having inscribed on it one of the names of the tribes of Israel. On his shoulders, two tremendous gems there, and 6 names on one shoulder and 6 on the other. The great high priest carried the nation Israel on his shoulder. He also carried them on his heart. That is a picture of our great high priest today, who is able to save to the uttermost. He was able to put the little lamb, you remember, on his shoulder when he found it and brought it into the fold. And you and I have such a high priest tonight. We also have one who loves us, and we're on his heart, inscribed upon his heart. And that is the one thing that he wants from those that are his own. Actually, it's not your service that he's after. Certainly not your money that he wants. God wants your love. That was his first criticism of the church. The first word of condemnation was a condemnation against these people in the early church in Ephesus. They had left the first love. Now, on the great day of atonement, the high priest is to be washed. That is for sure. But he's to take off the garments of beauty and glory. Here he is. And these garments of beauty and glory that he ordinarily used when he went into the holy place to serve at the golden altar, the altar of prayer, or to light the golden lampstand, or to put bread on the table of showbread, when he did those things, he wore the garments of beauty and glory. But on the great day of atonement, when he went inside, he laid aside these garments of beauty and glory, and he looked just exactly like the other priests. In fact, you could not tell him from the other priests at all, because these garments that you see here, they are taken off, and he wears merely this garment when he comes yonder to the veil to step into the Holy of Holies. Now, friends, that has a message for you and me, and I believe that explains what is known as the kenosis theory. That is something the church has argued for 1900 years, and I believe the explanation is in the tabernacle. If you go back and go to the great day of atonement, you will find that the great high priest laid aside his garments of beauty and glory, but that's all that he laid aside. He wore these others. It speaks of the fact that when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, what was it he emptied himself of? Of his deity? Of course not. He laid aside his glory, if you please, his garments of beauty and glory. There was no beauty that we should desire in. He was like other men, if you please. I sometimes hear, especially one of my liberal brethren, talking about Jesus being such a striking personality. I don't think he was. May I say that he took upon himself the form of a man. He was just like the other man. This priest looked exactly like any of the other priests. The Day of Atonement. And our Lord left heaven's glory and came down to this earth. He laid aside his garments of beauty and glory, and he took upon himself our human flesh. That's what happened at Bethlehem. He took upon himself human flesh, and the deity is there. That little baby resting upon the bosom of Mary could have called this universe out of existence. But you see, he's now made in the form of a man, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. So that we can say with Isaiah, although Isaiah is speaking to the nation Israel, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then we read, Paul says, for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Just think of this. The Lord of glory, who had everything, to be born in a stable and have nothing, to be brought up in poverty, to be a carpenter. There's no disgrace in that. But believe me, friends, what a come down for the architect of this great universe. To become a carpenter in Nazareth, but he laid aside his garments of beauty and glory, and you can't tell him from anybody else. They thought yonder Nazareth. Why, you remember he said, a prophet is without honor among his own people. He was without honor. They knew him. Why, they said the idea of this carpenter saying and doing the things that he is doing now. We looked at a passage like that this morning, yonder in Luke, when he read that passage. Why, they wanted to stone him because he was making himself, they thought, God, and he was. But they knew him, you see. He looked like anyone else. He was made in the form of a man. And as the great high priest laid aside his garments of glory and beauty, the Son of Man did that in order that he might come to seek and to save that which was lost. Same reason the high priest went in. Christ Jesus, his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree. And God says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, as a cloud thy sins. You see, he had to become one of us in order that he might take our place yonder on the cross. He took our place down here that we might take his place up yonder. He bore our hell down here that we might have his heaven up yonder. That's what he laid aside. And the picture is in the great high priest on the great day of atonement. And it was when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now let's return to our text in Leviticus. Herewith shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Now, this finds no parallel in Christ. Actually, when we say that the high priest went into the Holy of Holies only once a year, we do really need to qualify that. I had a very good Bible student here some time ago when I made that statement, afterwards said, didn't you really mean to say twice? And I said, no, I really meant to say just once, because most people think of it as once, and for us it is once. He went in really twice, but the first time he went in for himself because he was a sinner, but our Lord was no sinner. And the great high priest spent more time at that laver washing himself than he did any other place. The Lord Jesus never did do that. He, you remember, could say, which of you convicteth me of sin? He was then in the shadow of the cross. And my friend, there was his enemies always had to bear that kind of a testimony. Even Pilate, when he put him on oath, said, this man, why, he says, I find no fault in him. That is, I find nothing that you can judge him. You can't bring him into court on these matters. He's an innocent man. And Judas, who watched him like a hawk for 3 years, had to say, I betrayed innocent blood. Our Lord never went there. He didn't have to confess sin. He never made an offering for sin. Wasn't necessary. Somebody says, yes, but when he was 8 days old, they took him up to the temple and they offered there a little bird. Wasn't that for him? No, that was for his mother. Because you see, under the Levitical order, as we saw some time ago, Mary had to do that because Mary was a sinner. But he was not. Wholly harmless, undefiled, and without sin. So that the fact that he went in first for himself finds no parallel in the Lord Jesus Christ. And a great deal of time was spent on that day taking the ox that was used and also the ram that was used. And Aaron shall present the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. You see, he has to take care of his own sin first, and of his own house before he can represent the nation. Our Lord never had to do that at all. And therefore, when he put that bullock on the altar, he put it on for himself. Our Lord, you see, only offered himself up one time. The bullock is offered now for Aaron and for his family. Finds no parallel in Christ. Christ Jesus, his own self, bear our sins in his own body. And friends, that's the reason tonight that there's no other way to God except through Christ, for the very simple reason he's the only one tonight without sin. There's never been another human being without sin. Mary was with sin. She needed a Savior. If you read the Ave Maria, Hail Mary, you will find that she rejoiced in God, her Savior. And a Savior is for sinners. She was a sinner, you see. But her son, she was told by the angel Gabriel, that holy thing that is conceived of thee is of the Holy Ghost. He was not even tainted with sin, my beloved. So all of this ritual finds no parallel in our Savior at all. All of this business of getting Aaron straightened out. And believe me, it was a job getting old Aaron straightened out. And getting the other high priest later on the great day of atonement. And finally, why the ram is brought and the bullock is brought, the yearling, and they are offered and the blood is taken yonder from the altar at the brazen altar into the Holy of Holies by Aaron. Now that's for himself. That merely qualifies him to act as the great high priest. He shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two he-goats for a sin offering, one ram for a burnt offering. Now the burnt offering speaks of the person of Christ. The ram speaks of his strength. And the two goats for the sin offering. It's necessary to have the two. One to speak of the death of Christ, the other to speak of the resurrection of Christ. Now that Aaron is qualified, he's going to act for the nation Israel. He's going to go into the Holy of Holies now for the nation. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've said, no one convinced him of sin. He was without sin. Finds no parallel in him at all. But he did die upon the cross for sinners. And he did go into the Holy of Holies, into heaven itself, to present his blood. And may I repeat again, I don't mean to ride a hobby, and I wouldn't want to debate this, but I do believe that the Lord Jesus offered his literal blood in heaven. The book I wrote many years ago on the tabernacle, that was the only criticism of the book reviews I've read. In a Baptist paper back in Ohio, made that suggestion. It recommended it to their preachers, but it said, you have to watch out. This fella takes this thing very literally, and we know that that's a rather crude position. May I say, I do not consider the blood of Christ crude. Peter called it precious blood. And I believe that that precious blood will be in heaven throughout eternity to remind you and me of the price that was paid for our sin. If that's crude, you make the most of it. Now, will you notice these two goats? that the great high priest shall take. He shall take the two goats, set them before Jehovah at the door of the tent of meeting. Two goats are brought there, and then lots are cast. And one is taken and offered as a sacrifice. The other one, Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats. One lot for Jehovah, the other lot for Azazel. Now, I don't have time tonight to go into that. I believe that that is one of the greatest teachings. If you could go into that, maybe Mr. Allensworth, sometime in his Jewish meeting, will develop that for you. That's one of the rich studies. And Aaron shall present the goat upon which the lot fell for Jehovah and offer him for a sin offering. Now, I want you to watch these two goats. Now, that's all important. The first one is put on the burnt altar. It's offered as a sacrifice. That speaks of Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Now will you notice, but the goat on which the lot fell, Azazel, shall be set alive before Jehovah to make atonement for him, to send him away from Azazel unto the wilderness. Now that is out yonder, in, as it were, into outer darkness. Now, I can't develop this tonight, but may I say this just and be suggestive? When Christ died on the cross, and I say this reverently, in those last 3 hours of darkness, we'll talk about that this week a great deal. He went through literal hell for you and me. He bore your hell upon that cross. That's what he did. He paid the penalty for your sin. And that goat that goes into the wilderness speaks of that in a very definite way. Now the goat on which this lot fell, he's driven out for the moment. And as he's driven out, then the high priest takes the other. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering. That is for the people. Bring his blood within the veil, and do with his blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat before the mercy seat. Now, if you will watch the high priest, you will see exactly what the Lord Jesus did between his death on the cross and that night, that first day of the week, that night when he appeared to the disciples. In that interval, he'd been to heaven and presented his blood there, just as the great high priest went into the Holy of Holies. Now, will you notice this? This goat is slain, and that altar, as we've said before, speaks of the cross of Christ. Israel was told only one place of sacrifice. We are told today only one way of salvation. And that's what Peter meant when he was speaking to his own people who had had this altar. He says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My friend, tonight may I say to you, you may be trying to get to heaven some other way, but the only way is through Jesus Christ and his cross. That's the reason Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, he takes the blood and goes inside the Holy of Holies. He sprinkles it on the articles of furniture there. He is eventually to go through that veil, not through it, but push it aside, and go to the other side, into the Holy of Holies, and he only went there once a year. He went twice on that day, however. Once was for himself, but only once for the sins of the people. He's to come to this article of furniture, the ark. Ark, nothing in the world but a box made out of acacia wood covered with gold inside and out. It had a highly ornamental top on it called the mercy seat, and these two cherubim looking down, if you please. It's the same picture that Adam and Eve saw when they left the Garden of Eden. You remember it says in there that God put two cherubims And we think it means to block the way. It doesn't say that. To keep the way of life. What those cherubims were doing were looking down upon the blood of the sacrifice of the animals, of the skins that Adam and Eve were wearing outside the garden. And they looked back and they saw a mercy seat. They saw one way open to God. And friends, from the Garden of Eden down to tonight, there's been only one way to God, but that way's wide open. This is the mercy seat. Now, may I say, the high priest is to come in here. Let's go back and go with him. He had to anoint this altar, by the way, the golden altar. Oil is put upon it, and the frankincense that is to be offered there. And this is a picture that pulls aside the veil. He served in here with the garments of glory and beauty, but when he goes back yonder, he's got to leave them all off, you see. Now, that fateful day came when he took the blood, if you please, a basin of blood. He'd come by that altar where he got a censer of incense. One hand he has the censer, the other he has this basin of blood. And believe me, Aaron knew, since his two sons had been put to death, that you better not make a mistake. He went over that ritual again and again. And as far as the record is concerned, never was a high priest put to death back there. The reason is they just didn't make a mistake. That's one place that they were absolutely accurate. I have a notion the night before that the high priest didn't sleep very much. He thought of what he's to do the next day. He's got to make two trips back there, one for himself. That won't be too difficult. But believe me, the one for the nation, he has to be absolutely accurate with that. Now he steps back, if you please, of the curtain, the basin of blood and the incense. He goes back of the veil, and he steps into the Holy of Holies. May I say to you that when our Lord was crucified, that veil is rent in twain. That veil speaks of his flesh. And when he gave himself there upon the cross and died, he took yonder inside the Holy of Holies into heaven itself, his sacrifice for your sin and my sin. Now when Aaron came in here, that was the Shekinah presence of God. He was told not to tarry. He was to get out of there as quickly as he could. He's to go through the ritual. He's to wave that censer seven times. He's to dip his finger in the basin of blood. And when he does, he's to dip that blood on the mercy seat seven times. And believe me, he knew how to count to seven. He never stopped at six, and he never went to eight. Somebody says, what difference did it make? Just difference life and death. It's just like getting on the wrong side of the freeway, my beloved. It's not much of a mistake, but it does mean a matter of life and death. And it meant death for Aaron. He put it there seven times. That made the mercy seat. He did not dare linger. He's got to come on the outside. That's the reason the Scripture keeps telling us that when the Lord Jesus went yonder to God's right hand, he sat down. Aaron didn't dare sit down. There was not a chair in the tabernacle. Wasn't a place for anybody to sit down. He had to get out because he is a sinful man. Our Lord, when he went back, he had already prayed the prayer, glorify thou me with the glory that I had with thee before the foundation of the world. He went back and took his place at God's right hand. And we are told that having made one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at God's right hand. But this man Aaron, believe me, he's to move out in a hurry when he bows here and he's offered the blood. Now will you notice, the writer to the Hebrews takes this up, neither by the blood of goats. Nothing on the Day of Atonement actually could bring a man to God. And every instructed Israelite knew that. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Now you read that. By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now that's important to see. He entered in once. That means he didn't go in there for himself. He had no sacrifice for himself. He went in there for you, and he went in there for me. And he didn't do it each year. Christ tonight loves you enough that if it was necessary for him to die again, he would come back, and this Good Friday, he'd be willing to die for you in Los Angeles. It's not necessary. He offered up himself once, if you please. And that sacrifice is adequate and sufficient to save an entire world. And tonight, any man can turn to this one who died upon that cross. Now the high priest is to come out from the Holy of Holies, if you please, having gone in there. He's to come out because he's to use the other goat. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, he was made sin down here, but when he went back as the Holy Son of God. And he represents you and me tonight. In fact, if you and I are trusting him, we are in Christ tonight. And friends, you are not any more saved a million years from tonight than you are tonight if you are saved. Because, you see, he saves adequately, completely, 100%. In fact, he's able to save them to the uttermost who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, he died down here to save you. He lives up yonder to keep you saved. That's the reason he's up there tonight. He's yonder at that great altar of incense. The writer to the Hebrews drags it right into the Holy of Holies. And one of the higher critics said that he evidently didn't know where it belonged. He knew lots better than the higher critic did, because by the time the writer to the Hebrews had written, the veil in the temple was rent in twain, and this altar is in the Holy of Holies, and today he ever lives to make intercession. That's the altar of prayer. That's where he is tonight, for you and me. He died to save us. He lives to keep us saved. And you and I tonight are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now I'm going to pass this by. We were going to sing this tonight, but just let me sing it. Do you mind? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That alone tonight can wash away your sin. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, all their transgressions, even all their sins. And he shall put them upon the head of the goat, shall send him away by the hand of a man that's in readiness into the wilderness. We hear a great deal down here about secret sin. You may have a secret sin down here, but may I say we're told that our sins are set yonder in the light of his countenance. What is secret sin on earth is open scandal in heaven. He knows all about you. He knows all about it. And I think it was a little embarrassing, Aaron getting up there and confessing it all. And if you've sinned today and you're God's child, the Lord Jesus has already confessed your sin to the Father. Have you confessed it yet? May I say that that's the reason if you and I are to have fellowship, we are to confess our sin. That's the only way in the world we can be cleansed, the only way in the world we can have fellowship with him. And so Aaron put his hand on that little old goat. And that little old live goat now. And that little live goat is to be taken out, if you please. The goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a solitary land. He shall let go the goat in the wilderness. A live goat. Now, speaking of the resurrection, and they'd see Aaron leading that goat out. All the sins been confessed on that goat. Christ bore it all, friends, every bit of it. And the proof that it was satisfactory was he was raised from the dead. And tonight, God has removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. That's as far. And that not, he didn't say north and south. That's about 12,500 miles. But they haven't yet been able to measure as far as the east is from the west. It's pretty far. They say that there's, what, 200 billion light years across our galactic system. And we just got a little peewee galactic system, if you please. That's as far as the east is from the west. And it would take light traveling about 4 or 5 million years to get to the other side of the universe as it's known today. And believe me, if I can keep my sin that far away from me, I'm not going to worry about it. That's as far as he's removed it from us tonight. That's what the Lord Jesus did when he died and rose from the dead. My beloved, when he rose from the dead, it meant that your sin and my sin had been adequately dealt with. He was raised for our justification. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them. I'm he that liveth, and I was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Christ hath once appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Christ Jesus, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. There's the tabernacle. Once a year, in that innermost place where God met with them, the high priest went. He went stripped down to those garments that the other priests wore. And he entered in there with blood. 7 times it's put on the mercy seat. And then he came out. But next year he'll have to repeat it. 1900 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven's glory, stripped of his glory, and all of the prerogatives of deity, but he was God manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh. He came down here. He went to a cross. He died. Buried, he was raised again. He took his blood back yonder to God's right hand. And tonight, my friend, there is a new and living way to God. It's the only way that'll bring you and me a sinner. It's through him tonight. You and I are not worthy. You and I do not have merit enough. You and I, my friend, tonight, even if we were an astronaut, we couldn't get into God's presence. Too far away. But he's there tonight for you. Have you trusted him? Have you rested in him? Is he your Savior tonight?